spot for some sports, huh? Got the city going crazy when we work, huh? We top two, but we ain't two, we in first, huh? And when you need the real, we is who you search, huh? D-Lo, KC, D-Lo, KC, D-Lo, KC, D-Lo, we your number one spot.
Hey, let's go, let's go, let's go, let's go. Air horns, air horns, air horns. More fire. D-Lo and KC. On this July 25th here in Sacramento, California, ESPN 1320 officially getting D-Lo and KC underway right now. Shout out to D-Lo, still on vacation. He's actually in Disneyland.
The ultimate needle mover in God mode himself.
Yes, indeed. And it's your boy, Kenny Caraway. Yes, sir.
Acknowledge me.
And we are live
from the worst slums of Sacramento.
And we got Jesse Tapia behind the board.
What are you doing with him?
And right now, I got my main man, Kyle Madsen.
Hey, man, I won't mention this guy's name. I'll give him his initials. OJS.
No, I'm sorry. That's your drop.
That's my drop.
Officially. Officially, that's your drop.
Hold on, my earphones.
Just now we have caught
that. How did that happen?
I don't know. It just happened. All right, but that's like.
I was going to see if I could get a wrestling drop, and I get Mitch.
No, you get OJ.
Calling me OJ?
Because now, like, when we do that, it'll be funny. There'll be, like, an inside joke. It'll be context to it. We'll just all laugh together. Like, the chat house, everyone. That's
yeah, no, we all laugh together. Cool.
The killer is nobody.
The
No, what's the, that wasn't on purpose. I promise.
Kenny said, if I push the button.
I promise you that wasn't on purpose. I promise. The ironic situation about that.
Happy Friday, everybody.
I didn't have a drop for you, so I just went to the first one that was like right over here, and it was that.
That's the first one. Okay. No, sure.
Well, the one that was close, like, in magnetically went to that one. I just looked. Mm-hmm. Here, mm-hmm. Kyle Madsen.
He's a real brother. He's a real brother. You see it?
That's wrestling.
All right.
That's slick. He was on Arsenio Hall show, and he was talking about Hakeem, the Nigerian dream.
Mm.
And he was a white guy who was in a dashiki and everything. And he was like, no, he's a real brother. And he was like, yeah. And he would walk around like, sorry for the radio, but he would walk around like this.
He's strutting.
That's how the white guy would walk around.
Sure.
And he'd be like, yeah, I'm going to be the first black world heavyweight champion. And then Slick would go, and Arsenio Hall was like, excuse me? And then Slick would go.
He's a real brother. He's a real brother. You see it?
That's Kyle.
Hey, do you see the difference? Like, just real quick. We went just like a little mini change from like just the end of the insiders.
Yeah, we got so unserious.
Yeah, we talked about OJ and Kyle's the drop room. And, like, it's weird how it just happens
it's
instantly.
Like, it's like Young Zell plays and the energy just
We instantly got unserious.
We go from a restaurant to a nightclub.
Anthony Slater has Anthony Slater's dropping knowledge today on the insiders. We're talking about it's going to carry all day. It's like, hey, let's play this drop real quick for Kyle. So now we're stuck on it.
Shout out to my boy Kyle Madsen, man. He's going to rock with me for just a little bit. And Kyle doesn't know this, but he's going to rock with me a little longer than he probably anticipated. So about 50, what?
Hey, that's where our next break. Kyle can leave whenever, but we're till 58.
Man, I'm not going to hold him hostage. But
go ahead.
I did want to talk some 49er football real quick with him because training camp is underway. It is day 3 today.
Oh, that explains the OJ drop. 49ers legend.
Well, shout out to Hunter's Point. Hunter's Point legend.
Salute.
Hunter, all right.
Oh, my God.
Oh, dude.
Oh, my gosh. Oh, man. OJ Simpson. 49ers.
We going to have jobs on Monday?
I don't know.
Okay.
Aaron's back, too. He might be listening. No. He's here.
He's finally I'm going to tap into 1320. Yeah, let's see what's happening
about.
Over there.
Yeah. Day 3 of training camp for the 49ers, and they haven't put the pads on yet, but mm-hmm. there are people making waves. First of all, before I do that, I want to ask you, like, what do you think about training camp? Do you get excited about training camp being here? Obviously, football's back, but is it one of those things where it's like, all right, I know it's going to be some – I don't want to say training camp doesn't mean anything, but there's going to be a lot of stuff that people get overhyped or worked up about that won't really matter at all come week one. Do you feel that way about it?
Yes and no. just to sit on the fence a little bit. Yeah. I refuse to be the person who's like, well, it just means more work for me. Oh, like, I can't stand that. No, it's cool from that perspective. Like, we actually get, because so much at NinersWire.com, everybody check it out. So much of what I do between the 49ers season ending and training camp beginning is all speculation. Mm-hmm. It's just guesswork and what if this and what if that and this trade and this possible signing. Training camp means, hey, there's stuff happening. Mm-hmm. There's actually stuff to react to.
Right.
So I try not to overreact to training camp things, but I don't begrudge anybody who just gets excited that football's back. Isaiah Nair, the undrafted rookie. What?
Oh man, I'm just saying, bro. I'm just hearing things. I'm seeing things.
I'm gonna pull up his spider graph for you because this is just insane. But he's an undrafted. For example, Isaiah Nair, who is a undrafted rookie, made this sick catch yesterday, like triple coverage, made this diving catch. And it's like, okay, that's cool. That's fun. Like, it's a fun thing. You know, people post about it and you watch the highlights. Like, oh man, that's really cool. But I'm not going to go so far and be like, Niners got one. Mm. Niners got one because he beat Jason Pinnock and Darrell Luter Jr. and some other guy whose name
Darrell
I can't.
Who?
Darrell, dude. 49ers legend, Darrell Luter Jr. You know, and like, it's Mac Jones thrown into triple coverage, probably making a throw he'd never make. So it's notable because like, oh, all right. And with Nair specifically, just while we're here, let me show you this guy's. This is going to be good for the radio. Here's his spider graph. This man is the athleticism from Isaiah Nair. He's 6'4", 218. He's running a 4.4 40 with a 1.5 split.
Oh, he's
133-inch broad jump. That's 95th percentile. His wingspan is 97th percentile. His arm length, 97th percentile. His 10-yard split, 80th percentile. 40-yard dash, 85th. Like, there's reasons to be excited about Isaiah Nair, but I'm, like, this in itself is exciting. That's like, crazy. The spider graph is exciting. Him making a diving catch in training camp does nothing for me. With no pads on.
Right. Now, here's the thing. I'm glad you brought him up because that is somebody that for the first 2 days of training camp I've heard a lot about.
It's people are like, oh, he's standing out.
You know what I mean? It's just watch 2 days. And then, you know, I wasn't overly familiar with him, so that's why it's kind of new to me, right? But then you talk about the way people are talking about what he's done the first 2 days, his measurables, mm-hmm. and all this other stuff, and it's like, yo, this is crazy. Like, what if they did get one? But then I'm like, okay, what's wrong? He went undrafted. I know the rest of the league isn't just blind. He didn't get drafted. Not even a late round draft. Like,
right.
You went undrafted. Like, you're not going to find, it doesn't feel like, you're just going to find a game changer on the street, you know, hypothetically speaking. So I don't know. That's what always gives me pause about stuff like that.
Yeah, there's a few things for me with this. In camp, the things I'm most concerned about are how are the rookies playing? That matters a lot, including guys like Isaiah Nair. How are they fitting in? If so far through OTAs and camp, you're just not a disaster, that's a win. I don't care if they're playing great or they're not. Like, especially offensive and defensive line, you can't tell. The quarterback's actually not really being rushed at this point. Yeah. So you can't really – there's just not a lot to, like, to dig into and take away. Participation is big. Is there a guy getting every other day off? Are they load managing him in some way? Like, that's notable for me. Mm-hmm. And again, this is not to say don't get excited, but I don't put any real stock into Nair is just such a perfect example. Undrafted guy who's big and fast and making waves. It's notable. I'm clocking Isaiah Nair more than I'm clocking Derek Canteen. Jeez. He's an undrafted cornerback because I haven't heard, like, he's not doing anything. He's just
real names, by the way.
Yeah, no, real people. But you clock Nair, like, okay, that's a name to just kind of keep an eye out for. He went undrafted in part because he played 33 college games in 6 years and had 87 catches.
I know he tore his ACL.
He didn't play at all in 2022. He transferred to Texas and only played one game. And that's when he got hurt, and then he went transferred to Nebraska and had 34 catches for 455 and 5 touchdowns last year. So and then at Wyoming in his third year at Wyoming, his first full season, he had 12 touchdowns, which is pretty impressive. Average 20 yards a catch. Yeah. So you see, like, okay, the idea there, you see the shape, but you don't know.
Right.
I take nothing into account until pads are on. Mm. That's how I choose to approach it. Everybody's going to be different, but I keep going back to my first year writing about the Titans, because I was at TitansWire.com. And my first year writing about the Titans was, there was this kid, Kalfani Muhammad from Berkeley, okay, undrafted running back, who in OTAs tore it up. And the first couple of days of training camp, tore it up. A little scat back, just moving. Mm-hmm. Everybody there at the facility is like, watch out for this kid. Oh my God, this kid. And they still had Derrick Henry at the time. They had, who was the cat from Dallas? DeMarco Murray. Thank you. DeMarcus Lawrence is the only name I can come up with. DeMarco Murray.
Lendale White, but
no. Nope, that's not him. Was there, but not at this point. So the pads come on, and Kalfani Muhammad's name never got said again. Like, being able to deliver and take hits is, I know it's the game, but that separates so many people where maybe Nair is really good when you can't, you know what, get hands on him the same way, but as soon as you can get hands on him, reroute him, he's just not an effective player anymore. There, that's super on the table.
Real quick, Kalfani Muhammad has a Pro Football Reference page. No stat columns or anything, just a page.
Yeah, I think, I don't know if he ever went to, oh wow, if you type in Kalfani, it's the first thing that comes up.
I knew a Kalfani in high school.
They pop up pretty fast.
Accomplished track athlete in high school, professional career. Oh, he spent some time with the Patriots and the Broncos, the Cardinals, the Vikings, back to the Cardinals. Oh. He's in the league till 2021.
When did he enter the league?
2017. Okay. Seventh round pick.
All right, big dog.
Hey, good for him. Yeah. Hung around 4 years. Not bad. Salute.
He tells kids that he was in the league.
But yeah, so with training camp stuff, it's exciting. So hyped that football's back. We got a Hall of Fame game around the corner. All of that excitement, though, is, hey man, September 7th.
Right.
Like, we got football September 7th. Let's go. Right.
Just a random thing you talk about, like them having the pads on and everything. I, as somebody who never played football, am so amazed, and I'm sure you get used to it after a while, right? But I'm so amazed at what these players can do with the pads on. Like, I can't imagine this kind of restrictive, bulky thing, and I'm going up at the highest point in catching it, or when they dunk
it's so crazy.
The field goal
post.
The field goal post. All this, like, I never played. Like I said, maybe you just get used to it after years and years and years, but that seems
crossbar.
Crossbar. There we go.
There it is.
That seems so odd, so restrictive.
Yeah.
And they do essentially the same things they do without the pads on, with the pads on.
Yes. That's why I always think it's wild that they do the combine without shells. Hmm. Like, just put a helmet and shoulder pads on the guy. You don't need to go all the way out.
Right.
Just see how they move with pads on. Because I do think that's, I don't know how restrictive that is for guys. Just because, like, they've been playing football their whole lives. So you probably, I'm sure it's, you get used to it at some point.
Right.
But I do think that's one of the things that kind of gets overlooked, is just the element that the pads add from a movement standpoint, from a getting hit standpoint. Mm-hmm. So that's when pads will come on for the 49ers on Monday. And
Ricky,
that's when we're
supposed to be back Sunday.
Yeah.
And should be back for that. So
yeah.
That's good. I want to ask you something, because I do want to talk 49ers, but we've got a month left for training camp, so
we
got some time. But this is something that I brought to the table on Monday. Yeah, on Monday to Jesse. And I think the whole Chatty House disagreed with me too, but I want to see what you think. I was watching on the flight home. I was watching the little 14U flag football situation, right?
Mm-hmm.
And I had just kind of been thinking about this. NFL Network had it on.
Mm-hmm.
I think it originally aired on ESPN, but NFL Network was playing it.
Mm-hmm.
And I was like, I wonder why the NFL doesn't, they're so greedy and they're so hungry and thirsty for attention. I wonder why they haven't tried to find something like the NBA Summer League. And I said, why wouldn't they because they already do rookie minicamp. Why wouldn't they turn that into a 7-on-7? No pads or nothing like that. You probably wouldn't be able to have the linemen play in it. Probably linebackers. I cut it off there too. But quarterbacks, running backs, same thing they do on 7-on-7s. You got your DBs and you got your receivers and all this other stuff. Why not just have these guys do a 2-week 7-on-7 spring league like situation? Jesse says it's ridiculous because they'll be getting hurt in a spring league. That's that doesn't matter. But that's it. People get hurt in summer league and they still play.
They get guaranteed contracts though. If I'm a seventh round rookie and I tear my ACL, I'm probably cooked. Like, I'm probably never playing football again.
Well, Kenny, Jerry Jones, Caraway don't care because Kia bought this little time slot.
If you're going to fully guarantee contracts for guys, then maybe you can talk about it. But I also wonder if the cost it would take to present that versus the revenue that you would get from it, that might be prohibitive. But I really, it's the injury thing.
But here's my argument.
It's just you're already going to have to go through practices. You're already going to have to go through training camp, OTAs, rookie mini camp, mandatory mini camp. Then you got preseason games.
But here's my argument. They're playing anyway. I'm talking about the rookie mini camp. They're already going one-on-one against their teams. Their cornerbacks there, the seventh round, they're already doing that. Why not go against another team and televise it?
Because you got to travel then.
The NBA put it in Vegas. Well, yeah, put it in Vegas. Do just like the NBA Summer League. Put it in Orlando. They like to do stuff in Orlando.
I also think the other part of this is a lot of that stuff is like install type stuff where you're learning the playbook. You're learning how practices go. You're learning where to be on the field at certain times. And when the horn blows, okay, you go to this drill. Like, I think there's a lot of things that you're doing in rookie minicamp that are just getting you ready to participate in practice. Where if you're turning that into games all of a sudden, now you need more players involved. Because teams probably don't have enough dudes at rookie minicamp to field like a full 7-on-7 team. You're gonna have to get more players involved. You're probably not seeing any of the best rookies out there. Like if I'm the 49ers, Michael Williams had no part of.
Well, he can't even. He's like not that. Eligible. The linemen, there's no place for them.
Okay, so that's another problem. Are they getting paid extra? The people who are playing versus the people who are not.
I don't know. I really don't know. Do the NBA people get paid?
I have no
to
idea.
To be at Summer League. If they,
I would assume there's some.
The same format.
Financial.
I would take the same format and make that 7-on-7.
There are probably more hurdles than I even know, but I don't.
My whole thought process was they're, once again, and I know it's different. I know it's different, but they're already on the field making cuts, doing like they can. The same. There's no tackling in the 7-on-7, so you won't have to worry about that. You're making the same cut in a rookie minicamp. And I know Jesse, I understand his point. He said it's more controlled in that situation.
For sure.
But I don't know. I feel like it's almost the same level of risk, especially without the tackling.
But would it be taken away, like Kyle said, from the install stuff? Like people learning playbooks and stuff?
Yeah,
like
you're to me, because rookie minicamp is like 3 days. To me, you're now adding multiple games, 3-4 7-on-7 games, quote unquote. I don't think you're going to get teams to do that.
I think it's time to shut that one down, boss man.
Especially because it's in the middle. It goes rookie minicamp, then veterans report, and veterans are doing stuff.
I think that would be great for the league. It might not be great for the players or the coaches and stuff like that. I think it'd be great for the league. We got people that tune into the combine.
Yeah.
Now you're putting the facade of like some real type of game action. I'd much rather see that than Titans Bills week 8 from 2014 that they play on that damn channel.
We'll just throw on the baseball game instead. We don't need more football.
Yeah, I think.
Well, I'm tapping into baseball. I'm trying to help football out. I don't care about football.
Yeah, no, they
I'm
need
trying
it
to help
for sure.
Out.
It's a dying league. My problem with the flag football stuff, because I really did try and tap in. I think it's fun because it's just a little bit different sport. But I don't like how many people are around.
What you mean?
It feels very, and I know it is at this point right now they're trying to grow it. Right now it's still pretty small time. It looks it with the way like the sidelines, there's people all over the sidelines, there's like people in the end zones. It just looks very small time still. And it was distracting for me.
Which one are you talking about?
The NFL flag one.
Okay. So that was one of my issues. The NFL flag one. It's cool, but I don't like the NFL getting involved. I don't like that. NFL, oh, it's NFL flag, and this little these guys from San Diego, they're the 49ers, and we're going to put their look. Man, NFL, get the hell
out the way.
It's like
the Little League World Series.
Yeah, get the hell out the way. For example, NBA TV broadcasts EYBL Peach Jam, which is AAU on the AAU circuit, the Nike AAU circuit, the tournament they have. They let it be EYBL Peach Jam. The Russell Westbrook team is Why Not. The Carmelo team is Team Melo. They don't broadcast it on their air and say, Team Melo, you're now turned into the Denver Nuggets. And Russell, you're turned into the – oh, no. They let it be. NFL needs to get the hell out the way, do a deal with overtime, 7-on-7, and let it go like that. It may be kind of more what you're talking about with, like, the people around the field and everything.
I'm out on that.
No, we love that.
I'm
we
out.
We love that. Because those are the people that,
I don't need
we love that.
I don't need to see that guy going, on the sideline. Oh, nah, no, get out of here. That. That's fine. Do that in the stands.
How do we feel about it?
I don't need rando guy at the fence behind the end zone.
No. How do we feel about a 7-on-7 league, Big Three style version or whatever, like the Ice Cube for the NBA, but you're throwing out Dalvin Cook, the washed out NBA player, or the
NFL players.
Yeah, this
guy's trying to get these people killed.
I'm not. Like, Dalvin Cook, you can't play NFL football anymore. You can't cut it on the Dallas Cowboys, as we saw last year. I think he made the practice squad or whatever. Just never
really
got
do you remember that when they signed him and people were like, Dalvin Cook to the Cowboys? It's like, he stinks.
Like, Dalvin, you can't play here anymore, but hey, how about you come play the 7-on-7 league over here? We got Odell Beckham Jr., he's playing as well.
That's a torn quad waiting to happen. There's too much running for those guys.
Oh, but you want to do it to the guys who are trying to build their careers and make money for the world.
That's a great point by Jesse.
Yeah. They're more equipped. They're less likely to get injured than the 35-year-old Dalvin Cook. I don't know if he's 35.
I don't need to run at full speed. We're just playing a little flag football, a little turkey bowl on Saturdays during the summer. That's
Do you know why I don't want Ice Cube? Do you know why I don't want Ice Cube to start the 7-on-7 league? Because Jerry Rice would play in it.
And
it would make me so sad.
He would dominate.
It would make me so sad.
I saw something the other day of him in Seattle.
Oh, my God. The AI video was crazy.
What?
Yeah. Jerry Rice playing for the Seahawks?
Do you need to tell me about the Wizards AI as well?
Hey, who do you retire with? Who do you retire with? Do you remember that ridiculous...
Is it the Broncos?
Yes. That abomination of a press conference.
I don't remember if that
the
was
Broncos lost. Behind the stop, bro.
Wait, did Jerry Rice really not retire at the end with the Niners or something?
No, he retired from the Broncos.
Yeah.
And I don't even think he played for the Broncos. Like I think he was
so
in
weird.
Training camp.
That's like Terrell Owens at the Seahawks.
Damn. T.O. Don't do that, bro. Yeah, Frank Gore's the only one that came back and did
Miami Dolphins.
There's just my least favorite thing is when Jerry Rice is at a Niner game, which is all the Niner games.
Yeah,
and people are like, he looks like he's still playing. No, he doesn't. He's 65.
Now I will say this. That's what I was gonna say. I saw like a minute of Jerry Rice with the Seahawks.
Yeah,
boy was kind of getting open.
He was cooking.
He's kind of getting open. How old was he?
40.
At least 40 something. Yeah,
that's crazy.
Yeah, but he's like over 60 now. He looks like he could still play for an athlete means, he didn't let himself go.
That's kind of like the Michael Jordan thing. Can he still play up until he was about maybe 50, I think.
Oh, my God.
Well, that's because he was beating people at practice. He was like winning one-on-ones.
Yeah.
Jerry was 42 with the Seahawks.
Damn. I don't even know why he did that. Real quick, speaking of Jerry Rice, this is going to be really sad. We got about less than a minute. I know this doesn't mean anything. It's August, right? Like, it's July. You shouldn't look a certain way. But I don't even know if I want Brandon Ayuk to play this year. I just don't know. I don't. He looks so far away from being able to play an NFL game that you're going to get what by the time you feel like he can play, the season might damn near be over. Just let him sit out the season.
I'm circling October. That's 3 months. Late October, that's 3 months.
Did you see him jog? He was just jogging. He's not supposed to be doing anything. But did you see him jogging? I didn't feel comfortable seeing him jog.
Yeah, he's still working his way back. He's getting confidence on his legs.
You're right. No, you're right. I just saw him jog, and I was like, I don't even – just sit down.
I think the 49ers are taking
to do this.
I think they're taking that approach. I think they are taking that approach
of him
where they're not going to rush him back. Okay. No, not sitting out the season, but like if it's got to be week 9, week 10, week 11, they're not going to be like, hurry up and get out there.
And spot duty when he comes back.
Yeah.
All right. Kyle, thank you so much. You're the big dog. D'Lo and KC, we're coming right back. ESPN 1320, Sacramento's number one sports station.